Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and once again, I'd like for us together to face the issues. As we do this broadcast each day, Monday through Friday, facing the issues, I am challenged afresh and anew each day when we see the real issues of life that we all faced with, especially living on planet Earth. That means we're alive and well. We have so many things that we are seeing coming before our very eyes, in America in particular, and yes, even around the globe. Now, in case you think what is said on the broadcast occasionally might seem pessimistic and negative, let me remind us that if we talk about truth, it is going to be absolutely peppered with truth that is filled with what you would call the positive and the negative. It's an impossibility to study the Word of God without seeing the positive and the negative. It's an impossibility to see what the Scripture says without wading through what has taken place in that which multitudes today refer to as a negative gospel. If you stand in the pulpit and preach, you stand in the classroom and teach, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, and you stand and you read the Scripture and you preach or teach the Scripture, you're going to have some of both, as it is viewed through the lens and the filter of human thinking. But as we think about facing the issues, I want us to do so with the truth of the Word of God, not based on ideology, philosophy, or rites, rituals, rules, and regulations of some denomination, or what a denominational hierarchy or individual might think or say. But what does the Scripture say? Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:31-32. And then John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining this broadcast today. I pray that you'll participate by being a part of the program. You can do so by calling 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. Join in the dialogue, the discussion. You can ask your own question. It doesn't have to be along the lines of that which I'm speaking on. You can ask your question. It could be biblical, theological. It could be based on some question that you've had relative to biblical teaching that you've heard or that you've experienced. I'm always amazed at the number of aberrant, way out, wild, unusual teachings that is going across the airways by way of radio and television and from pulpits across America and around the globe. I'm always amazed at that. It's frightening when you see some of the things that's said and taught, and it is taught and said as to be coming from God. This is the reason for this broadcast. This is the reason I invest my time in the planning, the preparation, the review, the study, to preach the Word Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night in our church. And this is the reason I do that which we do each day here on this radio broadcast, is for the educational, inspirational challenge that I pray that it is to you as you listen. And by the way, some of the things that we'll discuss next week, and this broadcast is on, you may just be tuning in. This broadcast goes forth every weekday, Monday through Friday at 5 o'clock on this same station. Some of the things we'll deal with in facing the issues next week would be, is Christianity disappearing from America? If so, what are the evidences of that? If not, what's the evidence of that? One other thing that we'll look at, should believers be involved in the political process? Should believers be involved in the political process? Yes or no? What are your thoughts? That'll be one of the things we'll discuss next week. What about the prosperity gospel? Are we all to be healthy, wealthy, and wise? Are we all to prosper? What is that word, prosper and be in good health, that's found in the one of the small epistles of John? What does that mean? I've heard it many, many times down through the years. Some of you have heard it. Perhaps you've preached it or you've taught it. You've inculcated that. What does it mean? How do we apply it? Secondly, we want to talk about one of the broadcasts next week. We'll discuss one of the issues. Are we all children of God? There are those that will say, every person is a child of God. May I ask the question, when do we become children of God? How do we become a child of God? Are we all his child? Are we all considered a son of God, a child of God? And then one other thing that we'll discuss next week, I don't know which day we'll do any of these, but one of the things we'll discuss, should Dr. Vitti resign as the school board superintendent? You know, there's a movement by some members of the school board asking for his resignation. I've been asking for his resignation for months and months and months. So we're going to ask the question, should Dr. Vitti resign? And I want us to analyze the rationale behind the request for his resignation and why, as every parent, every citizen in Duval County, we should all let the school board know our stand on that issue. And before we look at the issue that we're going to face today, may I remind you again, the number that you can call for your questions, comments, and dialogue, 401-1413. You can jump in the discussion at any point in time. Be delighted to pause in our discussion, entertain your question, your comment. It can be pro or con. We can agree to disagree, but we're not going to be disagreeable in disagreeing if you happen to disagree. Let me invite you, first of all, to our worship services this Sunday. First Conservative Baptist Church invites you, our listening guest, to be with us in the worship center on Sunday morning. 9:30 is the Bible study hour, Sunday school hour. You get to know individuals on a one-on-one basis. You get to ask questions, biblical questions, study the scripture, and have dialogue about the scripture in a class of your peers. And then at 10:45 is the morning worship service. We have God-honoring music. We have expository biblical preaching. I happen to be preaching now on Sunday mornings through the book of the Revelation. By the way, it's not Revelations. It's the book of the Revelation. And that's found in chapter 1 of the book of the Revelation. It is the apocalypse that is the revealing, the unveiling, the showing forth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All through Revelation, the emphasis on Jesus Christ and who he is. And then on Sunday evenings, we're studying verse by verse and chapter by chapter through our journey once again through the gospel according to Mark, Mark's gospel. And then we have our services on Wednesdays, the midweek Bible service at 7 o'clock, where we have a prayer time, Bible study time, and a fellowship meal time. But I want to emphasize and invite you to be with us this Sunday. I'd love to meet you as one of our listening audience. Love to have dialogue and discussion with you. And by the way, at any time you'd like to have some of the pulpit messages, we have them available on CD, DVD, cassette tape, and any form of transmission that you would like to have them in. Our broadcast is a video live streamed every Sunday morning. You can tune in by way of internet and watch the service Sunday morning and Sunday evening. All of our broadcasts then are uploaded on our YouTube channel, where you can watch the messages as they're proclaimed, even after the worship service. But we'd love to have you in person. Be a delight to meet you. And by the way, we have our university campus bookstore. I don't know about you, but I'm a book fiend. I enjoy studying good quality, theologically sound, doctrinally pure books. We've got about 6,000 titles in our campus bookstore, about 130,000 volumes of every book in the Bible and all of the commentaries and the word study guides, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A literally treasure trove of wonderful books. If you enjoy books, we have those available to the general public. I think you would find some of the most conservative biblical text in any place in the Southeast found in our bookstore here on campus. Let me enter into our very important discussion today. And may I just simply give you the title of what we want to talk about. That should perk your ears up. Why voting for Donald Trump is a morally good choice. Why voting for Donald Trump is a morally good choice. Let me set the stage for that thesis statement. I believe most of us would be, if we'd be honest with ourselves, we'd say our nation stands in what you'd call shock and awe over the last week's events. Terrorist attack in New York with bombs exploding in two different places. Terrorist attacks in New Jersey with bombs directed at the infidel. That's what Islamics call us, the non-Muslims. Kafirs, if you will. That is the infidel, the non-believers. Terrorist attack in Minnesota Mall with the jihadists attempting to kill 9 people with a butcher knife. Terrorist attacks in New York outside a Jewish synagogue with the attacker using a meat cleaver. Notwithstanding what I would call the obvious, wonderful mayor de Blasio said, may I quote, this is the mayor of New York, Comrade de Blasio. Mayor de Blasio said, and I quote, it is intentional, but it's not terrorism, end quote. Evidently, Comrade de Blasio is in an alternative universe, as I understand the reality of life and what's happening. Now we're watching the Black Lives Matter in Charlotte, the socialist, communist-inspired, George Soros-funded anarchist group trying to destroy Charlotte, North Carolina. One person's already been shot by the mobsters. In fact, the latest news today says that over 75% of those that are doing the rioting and the breaking of glasses and the looting in the stores, 75% of them are imported by plane and train and bus and car that's bringing them in for the purpose of looting and rioting and stirring the pot and trying to destroy the lives of those and the business people in Charlotte. May I remind us the obvious conflicts and associated destruction of our Constitution and the destruction of the rule of law. Yet Obama insists that America is better off now than when he took office almost 8 years ago. Then we have Hillary Rodham Clinton, the one that can't keep up with emails, the one that had her underlings destroy 13 to 15 handheld devices, better known as cell telephones and handheld devices for the transmission of data and information. She commends the Black Lives Matter group as a peaceful organization. In fact, Hillary Clinton is endorsed by the Communist Party USA. If you don't believe it, Google it. Check it out. Hillary also refuses to recognize Islamic terrorists as being a danger to America. Let me just read you a little article in today's news. Title of the article is Mass Immigration Costs Government $296 billion a year, and it depresses wages. Immigration drains the government, sapping as much as $296 billion a year from federal, state, and local taxpayers, while depressing wages, at least in short run, according to an authoritative study released Wednesday by the National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine. The 500-page academic study is supposed to be the final word on the economic effects of mass immigration. Further in the article, it says the data shows that immigrants take more in benefits than they pay in taxes. Although immigration and immigrants do boost the size of the economy, the gains are heavily skewed toward the immigrants themselves and the wealthy investors. Listen, not the native-born workers who end up competing with the new arrivals in our country. May I remind us, that is the position of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Therefore, may I remind us, these immigrants coming in, these refugees as they're called, they infiltrate our nation and we the taxpayers provide them with good jobs, free housing, health care, food stamps, while they plot to destroy us from within. They're called lone wolves. I don't know how they get that title, how they get that statement, when most of them, you'll find, are far from being lone wolves. May I remind us, most of them, they have discovered, even at the outset, when they say, well, that is not really a terrorist attack. That's just a person that's dissatisfied because he doesn't have a job, dissatisfied because he doesn't have the proper housing. We just need to give them better education and better housing and better income, and they'll stop trying to kill us. That was the Obama administration and the Clinton, Hillary Clinton's philosophy of just a few months back. Therefore, we should, as citizens, recognize the need in our nation of what we need to do. We're hearing many voices today as we enter into the final stretch of the presidential election. May I remind us again, and I've reminded us, ladies and gentlemen, this several times, in 2012, in the presidential election, 41 million Christians just simply did not vote. Today, some are saying that they will vote for a non-candidate, one or the other, as a protest vote, they're saying. Others are saying they will just stay at home and not vote at all. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we have the right and the responsibility to vote. Everyone listening to the sound of my voice, if you're registered to vote, you have a responsibility to vote. If you're not registered to vote, shame on you. We have that responsibility as citizens, the United States of America. May I outline just a few reasons why a vote for Donald Trump is a morally good choice for every citizen, including Christians. Number one, Donald Trump is a candidate with flaws. Keep in mind that Trump comes to the race as a professional man, not a politician. He's not perfect. He does not pretend to have all of the answers. Yet he is passionate about America and our Constitution and the rule of law. May I remind us, the accumulation of accusations against him are for the most part from the left-wing, socialist, communist, liberal element in society in an attempt to disqualify him, to discredit him. One example is to accuse Trump of having no experience. Well, 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 he has no experience, so some say. Look back at the record of Barack Hussein Obama. What experience did he have? Other than being a community organizer, a rebel rouser, a Saul Alinsky student, an advocate. Number two, Trump seeks to find the good and do good for America. Donald Trump is vitally interested in making America great again. Every Christian is charged with the responsibility of seeking to influence our nation for God and for good. Although you may not see Trump as a believer, many do not. Remember, we're not trying to elect Jesus Christ. We're not trying to elect a priest position, but a president that will lead our nation in the right direction. In fact, in Jeremiah 29:7, God instructed Jeremiah to seek the welfare of his city. May I say today we should do the same as a moral, ethical individual, and we should seek the betterment of our nation and not the further decline of our nation. Trump will select conservative constitutionalists for the Supreme Court. Now, if there's no other reason, if there's no other cause, if there's no other philosophical position to take about Donald Trump as president, it ought to be on the basis of what he's going to do from the standpoint of constitutionalist for the Supreme Court. We must not forget that the next president will most likely appoint somewhere between 2 and 4 Supreme Court justices in his 1 or 2 terms in office. We simply cannot risk, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we cannot risk Hillary Clinton's appointments like Sotomayor, and Kagan, loose lacks lost liberals. You don't believe it? Watch every Supreme Court judge and their rendering their decisions and their vote, since these two have been put on the bench by Barack Hussein Obama. And Hillary Clinton says she's going to follow his protocol, his position, his principles of what he's done in his 8 years. She praises him for what he's done. And yet our GDP is at the lowest of any two-term president in the history of America. We are stagnant as a nation in production, in productivity. We're stagnant as a nation financially. In fact, income has been depleted. And may I remind us, when you find our importation of refugees almost at the pace of Germany, Germany now is saying, Angela Merkel is saying she regrets having made the decision to have over 100 million immigrants come into Germany in the past 15 months. May I remind us, our nation is now on the brink of passing the threshold of being able to come back from the abyss that we're now standing on the very shoulder of. May I remind us, the Supreme Court's ruling on homosexual marriage. May I remind us that Hillary Clinton, if she goes in office, we'll see our religious liberties nullified, our rights and to keep and bear arms will be infringed upon. Freedom of speech and other liberties will simply be truncated or totally eradicated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can jump in this conversation anytime you want to. You can agree or disagree. But may I warn you, if you want to disagree, I'm going to challenge you to tell me why. If you say that we ought not to look at Trump as being the best candidate for the United States of America, and you think Hillary Clinton is the right one, tell me what she has done that would make you believe that it would honor God for us to vote for her and place her in the position of further eradicating our liberties and destroying our constitutional rights and liberties. Number four, Trump will protect Christian business owners from the onslaught of lawsuits brought on by the sodomites trying to force their agenda. Yes, when you look back at what's taken place with Christian business people, small bakeries, small photo shops, small mom-and-pop inns, bed and breakfast inns, small business enterprises where a homosexual couple will go in and say, bake me a cake, or come in, I want you to cater my wedding. And Christian business people that are struggling to make ends meet, many times as business owners working 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week just to keep a business alive, and then have a sodomite suit that destroys the business, closes them down because they're required then to go against their biblical, theological, doctrinal conscience and make choices that God is displeased with. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're satisfied with that kind of society, ladies and gentlemen, if you are okay with that kind of mindset, then vote for Hillary Clinton. That's all right. But I am one that's not willing to sit back and let that continue to happen. And let us see our nation continue to be eroded as a result of the demoralization and the destruction of Christian rights and privileges and the rights that we have under our Constitution. May I remind us, mom-and-pop businesses based on Christian conscience are now being forced out of business by the rabid homosexual movement that says you're going to do it my way or we're going to shut you down. May I remind us that is the protocol, that is the movement, that is the mandate within the confines of the homosexual movement across America today. And yet, just on a brief thought, if we pass an HRO, Human Rights Ordinance, in Duval County, we can fully expect an exponential increase in suits against businesses because the homosexuals want to see that. They want to see a business say no to their demands and their wishes and their whims so that they can file suit in a court of law. May I remind us, we are on the brink of absolute moral destruction and total degradation. And if we continue the Obama doctrine, the Obama principle, the Obama philosophy, and Hillary Clinton says she will, we are doomed as a nation. You think I'm passionate about this issue? You bet your boots I am. If you think I'm concerned about the direction we're going in as a nation, you can absolutely rest assured that I am. November the 8th, 2016, the election day for the presidential election, will be the most pivotal, the most important, the most directive, good or for good or bad, that we'll ever see in our lifetime in the United States of America. And if we make the wrong choice and decision, the die will be cast. The future will be destroyed for the next 50 years if it is survivable, if it can survive after that. Number five, we're talking about the five reasons why voting for Trump is a morally good choice. Number five, Trump, Donald J. Trump, will stand for Christian schools and colleges and their rights to refuse homosexual students or the adoption of homosexual agenda in their schools' policies. Ladies and gentlemen, did you realize now that the movement's already started in California with the California State Board of Education filing suit against religious colleges, Bible colleges, filing suit against them, demanding that if they continue to be in business, that they must give priority preference to sodomite students and to the homosexual agenda and the homosexual mindset. And they've already put the religious schools in the state of California on notice that either you will obey and bend to the demands of the state on those issues, or you'll close your doors. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say that we have now the cutting edge movement of what eventually can close or destroy or truncate the policies and the procedures of religious institutions, whether it's a daycare, a kindergarten through high school, or it's a Bible college, or a seminary, or a Christian liberal arts school. Let me say this very quickly. Any institution, religious institution, that accepts federal dollars, that is the Title IX, Title IV grants and scholarships for schools, for tuition, through the U.S. Department of Education, they stand right now in jeopardy, this very moment, they stand in jeopardy of having the hammer of the federal government fall and close their doors if they're not willing to accept homosexual students. Donald Trump has already stated that he will make sure that the religious institutions are protected. And the 501c3s that most churches operate under, which is simply a letter that the federal government says, you guys are okay. You can preach and have your little church inside the four walls of your building. But don't you dare say anything about the political movement. Don't you dare say anything about what's happening in government. And may I suggest to you that that is a truncation of our religious liberties and the free speech. And that is simply illegal and unconstitutional and would not hold water in any federal court. But yet there's the hammer that's being held over so many heads today. And may I remind us, the answer to this, remember, the election is not about Hillary Clinton. The election is not about Donald J. Trump. The election is about freedom and liberty and the rule of law. May God save the United States of America. May God bless our nation. May God give you, our listening audience, wisdom to cast that vote. And may I remind us, in these last 45-plus days leading up to the election, you have the opportunity to impact others with the truth of how we ought to vote. The scripture says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation. That word exalt means to lift up, to glorify a nation. But sin is a reproach that is a shame, an insult, a disgrace to any people. I pray that this has been a challenge to you. I pray that you've listened well, and I pray that God will use it to speak to your heart. May I remind us, next week, same time, same station, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, as we face the issues that we all faced with each day. God bless you for listening.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.